Number 14.
Number 14 is from the Department of Administrative Services, an information report regarding a five-year financial forecast, and they are going to give you the PowerPoint presentation. It's informational.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fudge. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Josh Fudge. I'm a fiscal and management analyst in the Department of Administrative Services. On behalf of the Financial Forecasting Work Group, I am presenting the latest version of the five-year financial forecast. Just a brief overview of the model. The purpose of it is to develop a consensus of the county's fiscal status and future. The goal is to emphasize major fiscal drivers, improve data-driven decision-making processes, and to provide a what-if analysis capability for policymakers. The process, the model is essentially a large Microsoft Excel file into which we input the county's latest adopted budget and the prior year available actuals. So this update includes 2010 year-end actuals and the 2012 adopted budget. We then group all of the line items by department into what are called account types based on similar account types that will behave similarly in the future. We then create assumptions on how those account types will behave over the next 5 years, and from that we derive the structural surplus or deficit. It is a cross-departmental work group that reviews the assumptions and approves them, and then we basically input those into the model, and it provides the results that you're about to see. It also, one important note is that it always assumes existing policy levels, service levels, staffing levels, things like that. The work group, as you see on this slide, is made up of a variety of departments, county board staff, the Office of the Comptroller, members of a couple of departments, and also Mr. Regini, who has moved on to the city of Wauwatosa. I told him that since he responded to an email about this, he automatically re-upped for another year. Just a brief overview of the largest account types. The next two slides show the top 10 largest expenditures and revenues. On the expenditure side, these make up about 71% of the county's total expenditures, and on the revenues, they make up about 63%. So you see on this slide the five largest of each, and then the next slide is the next five largest of each. And if you have any... I'm sorry?
And again, Mr. Fudge, the 10 categories here make up 71% on the expenditure side of the total county expenditures, and for the revenues, 63%. Those top 10.
Correct.
It looks funny because on the first slide you want to give us the information, but it looks as if you could have put it at the end because it looks as if the first five.
I realized that looking at it last night that those figures should have been on the second slide,
okay,
so I apologize.
Thank you very much.
Just a brief note on some of the key assumptions that sort of drive the overall situation. Many of the account types are tied to the assumed inflation index. We take this from the Department of Bureau and Labor Statistics for the Midwest. It did forecast a 2.2% increase or inflationary rate over the near future. That's an increase from 2% in previous versions. Property taxes was revised. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Are these is that the rate over the 5 year, or is that the annual rate?
Yes. In most cases, the assumptions have the same rate for all 5 years. There are some smaller account types where we know things may change in the near future, but those are generally related to investment income, things like that. For all of the assumptions that you see here, those are consistent over the entire 5 years. So, for instance, it assumes inflation will rise 2.2% annually.
All right. And then the horizontal line.
That basically indicates that there's no change in that assumption. Employee health care, for instance, increasing at 9%, that's not a change from the previous version. The same with most state and federal revenues are assumed to remain flat. That's no change from the 2011 adopted version of this forecast that you would have seen last year.
Oh, I got you. Change from the previous projection. Okay.
Correct.
So property taxes aren't projected to go down. It's just that rate is lower than
correct
previous projections.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the previous assumption on property taxes was a 3.1% annual increase. That assumption is based off a rolling five-year average. In the last couple of years, the adopted property taxes increased at a slower rate, resulting in bringing that assumption down. And the reason the arrow is red is that it has a negative impact on the overall forecast over the 5 years because you have reduced property tax revenue. One good note, the arrow is green near sales tax revenues. That is actually tied to the State Department of Revenue's forecast of personal income. We found a strong correlation in how sales taxes and personal income move together. So the previous projection had been 2.2%. So that's green. It's an increase to 2.8%, and it's green because it's a positive impact. And this slide is new from previous versions. We've never really kind of shown some of the key assumptions, so we wanted to provide that for your information. So those assumptions that you saw plus all the others together result in a forecast structural deficit that you see on this slide. The 2013 projected structural deficit for cost to continue is about $28.4 million, rising slightly in 2014 and then continuing to rise through 2017. This is just another sort of way of showing the chart previously. It shows revenues and expenditures in millions of dollars. Basically, revenues are forecast to increase by 18% over the next 5 years, while expenditures will rise by 26%. The result is that the structural deficit persists. It is significantly smaller than in past years. The county has taken a lot of steps to mitigate the structural deficit. And as you saw on the previous slide, expenditures will rise by an average of 5.1% annually, while revenues will only rise by about 3.5% annually. There's some major drivers of the structural deficit. Personnel costs, as has been discussed quite often in during the budget and other times, continues to kind of drive the cost to continue. You saw that the health care for active employees and retirees rising by 9%, and that's on a $122 million base. Overall, personnel costs are forecast to rise by 26% over the five-year period, while fringe benefits, which is a component of that, would rise by about 36%. One of the other issues that I think has been touched on previously is that discretionary revenues. The county simply doesn't have a lot of revenue diversity. Discretionary revenues are simply not rising fast enough to meet the cost to continue. This chart shows personnel costs as a percentage of total expenditures, remaining relatively consistent at about 37% over the next 5 years and rising from about $440 million in 2012 to about $540 million by 2017. Fringe benefits, one of the major components of that, is forecast to rise as a share of the overall county expenditures. In 2012, it's about 16% and would rise to about 17.5%. Correct. This chart is related to the revenue issue that I discussed. As a percentage of the county total revenues over the next 5 years, restricted revenues, which mainly includes the airport, CMO revenue, some BHD reimbursements for costs, will continue to rise, and discretionary and state and federal revenues will continue to decrease, which obviously puts pressure on services that aren't funded with restricted revenues. These are just some examples of the revenues by category, as I discussed. Discretionary revenues, in most cases, we are allowed to set the rate or the fee. In some cases, not, such as in the Register of Deeds. However, we can use those revenues for whatever purpose. And then state and federal revenues, obviously several of those. This is just a similar chart showing those categories adjusted for inflation, not as a share of the county, but just their totals out in the future adjusted for inflation. It basically shows that discretionary and state and federal revenues will remain flat, while restricted revenues, obviously, as they reimburse costs, will continue to rise. One piece of good news that has been in previous versions of this model is debt service payments. The county should see some relief in 2014. And this is really based on capital financing only. It does not include the pension obligation bonds. Pension obligation bonds are depicted as fringe benefits, so they were included in some of the charts you saw previously. And this assumes a relatively consistent capital bonding program. There are two other major items coming up within the next 5 years. One is in the Department of Transportation Transit Division. There is about $8 million annually in CMAQ funding that goes away after 2013. The model, the structural deficit chart that you see there includes that impact. And then Doane Hospital revenue, the final payment is scheduled for 2016. And that's about $7 million impact in 2017. One thing that the model can do is it can show the tax levy needs of every department. We put some of the largest departments in the presentation for you to review. So you can see that in 2012, the sheriff required about $121, $122 million in tax levy support. That'll grow out to 2017 relatively significantly, since a large portion of their budget is personnel. By 2017, it'll be about $157 million. And this chart basically shows the top six largest tax levy departments. As currently forecast, they will require about $122 million of tax levy support at their current service level, current funding levels, whereas tax levy is projected to grow by only $38 million. This next chart shows a history of the structural deficit. The 2009 adopted budget version was the first version of this. Obviously, it showed an incredibly negative situation for the county by the time we got to 2012 or 2016, and the county has taken steps to reduce that deficit each year since. The 2012 adopted version basically mimics the 2011 adopted version. The green line that you see for 2011 included all the state cuts. So, in effect, the 2012 adopted budget took care of the increased deficit that was caused by the state cuts in the biennial budget. And this chart basically lays that out. There was some questioning by the work group whether we could point to what would the structural deficit be without those cuts. That's really difficult to say because we don't really know what services or what changes made in 2012 would not have otherwise been made had we not had the problem. Would the reductions have been made to the sheriff or fringe benefits? One thing we can say is because most state revenues are projected to be flat, it didn't really bend the curve. The state cuts didn't make the curve worse. It really just kind of moved it down. There was other questions in the work group about the impact of wage and benefit modifications made over the last 3 years. This chart shows an estimate of the impact of those changes. The red line is basically off the 2009 adopted forecast and shows where we would have been in 2012. We would have required about $550 million in fringe benefits. Instead, it's closer to $400 million. We tried to show, because obviously staff changes have an impact on that as well, not just the changes to fringe benefits, we tried to show what it would be without those staff changes. 2009, there were about 5,600 FTEs. In 2012, there's about 4,900. The next two slides kind of show the same as a previous slide, personnel costs and fringe benefits. As a comparison between fringe benefits and staffing levels as they were in 2009 versus 2012, you can see that personnel costs in 2009 would have made up about 39% of total expenditures by 2017. Right now, they're forecast to be closer to 37%. Fringe benefits, sort of the same message. By 2017, they would have consumed about 19% of all expenditures. Instead, right now, they're forecast to consume about 17%. And this chart again just shows those numbers basically. One thing, I'm sorry, that this also does show is that the changes to fringe benefits have bent the curve slightly with regard to the structural deficit. They were anticipated to rise by 8.4% on average back in 2009. They're now projected to rise by 7.1%. which is a benefit to the county. It shows that the curve has been bent. In large part, that's due to the pension. A number of issues related to the pension, not just some of the changes made in fringe benefits, but also the Mercer settlement and the end of amortizing the losses in 2008. But the news is good on that front, at least from the perspective of the structural deficit. In general, just to sort of finish answering that question, the fringe benefit modifications and staffing reductions have resulted in about $250 million in less personnel costs by 2017 than otherwise would have been required. Assuming about 22% of that is offset by revenue, staff at the airport, things like that, it's about a $195 million reduction in the structural deficit itself. To summarize, the county has made obviously significant progress in reducing the structural deficit. The curve has been bent slightly on personnel costs. They will consume less resources in the future. The rate of growth has been reduced. Debt service will decline, but unfortunately, most of the improvement in the deficit has been made on the expenditure side. Revenues continue to be an issue. And with that, I'll be happy to entertain any questions.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. I want to ask a general question to the makers of the budget here. And Mr. Henkin, I saw, I got a card, so I'll see if he can answer this question, too. We've heard from the public policy forum a number of times, and they do great work. Again, that gain was our loss to Mr. Henkin. But this is, I talked about it early in this meeting. Remember when we started the meeting about, you know, the significant things we have done to reduce our structural deficit. These are well delineated in the specifics here, that, you know, significant moves we've made to reduce our costs and personal costs, especially that's helped the structural deficit things we just mentioned. Nevertheless, we still have a significant problem as we go on, without question. So it begs the question that with the county executive looking at the budget first, and this is too obvious to state, and I'd like to see some reaction maybe with Mr. Henkin too, is that certainly, you know, we could say, well, you throw up our hands, say the county's doing what we can. But, you know, and there's all this talk about municipalities picking up for the county. The county's irrelevant, and the municipalities could do all this. Well, obviously not. I mean, I can list a whole sorts of reasons here, and maybe all of you can also, where I've asked my municipality or two to pick up where the county has left off. And they say, well, we don't have the money to do that. I mean, you know, they like to take over things, but they don't want to take over all our obligations, especially some of our pension obligations and our I'm afraid a lot of maintenance that we have to do in so many areas. We can talk about our public-private partnerships. We can talk about our parks. A lot of deferred maintenance in all these areas, we don't have the money to attack right away, especially with limitations on how much we can do in that capital bonding. Okay? So it begs the question, then, that we can keep coming back and we can fill holes. We can cut departments as we have done year by year since I've been here, especially the last 5 years. It's always difficult. It's never easy. Never is a magic bullet. We've hit every department. The sheriff got hit last year, so we saw the results of that. Okay. But he didn't get hit, or the courts didn't get hit very much in the 5 years before that. I mean, I don't know where you go in the departments anymore, to be honest with you. I don't know where you go with the employees anymore. Okay. I mean, we're talking about 15-20% reductions and, you know, in our salaries, everybody else's salaries, just because of what we pay. We've been freezing a lot, as was reported. We pay more for benefits, and fine, we have to do that, I think. Okay. So, where do we go? The only answer seems to be, and I'll stop then, okay, is we need another revenue stream. I mean, it's as plain as the nose, I think, on my face. If you can see, I got a big nose. But isn't there where we have to go? I mean, where else are we going to go? I mean, you know, I don't know if anyone wants to hit that a little bit, or Mr. Henkin might have another idea here, but where else do we go for, you know, longer term? We can Band-Aid, and I think we've done, you know, pat ourselves in the back maybe a little bit. But we've gone through difficult decisions in the last few years. We've made the difficult decisions. You know, everything can't be zero all the time. Because look at all the costs that have gone up in every other area. And somehow we're supposed to be zero or less. We're still supposed to serve the same amount of people. And we have reduced income we're taking in. So where do we go? I mean, you know, I can't see us hitting departments anymore. I can't see us hitting employees anymore. And the only alternative seems to me, because we've done these other things. We've done some good things, pension obligation bonds the board took over. We became self-insured in insurance. We saved, look at the money we saved. I talked about those things before. So I don't know where else we go.
Thank you. Mr. Fudge, do you have anything for him?
I think it's kind of, you know, we just got the requests in from the departments, and you know, we can talk in large generalities about where do you go, and I think really until you start scrutinizing these budgets one by one and actually getting into the various lines that's being proposed, yes, we have a challenge. Do we always annually meet those challenges? Yes, we do. How are we going to approach it? I'm going to tell you right off the bat, we're going to approach it on the expenditure side first. But if departments have good ideas in terms of revenue generation, I'm not going to, you know, ignore those either. So we're going to scrutinize the budgets one by one, and it's kind of hard to say, you know, a week and a half into, you know, looking at these budgets that I can give you specifics as to how much is going to be employee or how much is going to be department or, you know, what those things are all shaking out. So I think the positive news here is that if you've looked over since this 5-year plan has been established, how many years is this? About 4 years now. Our structural challenge has decreased, and given the things that you've done, particularly last year, the challenges that we're facing foregoing are becoming less and less. So there is some positive news in all this, but you know, I just don't want to give you an answer that's in large generalities. It doesn't really answer the question. But you know, we're going to do our due diligence on the expenditure side, and you know, we'll unfold the budget at that time.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell.
Sure.
Mr. Henkin, you come forward, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rob Henkin, President of the Public Policy Forum. Before addressing Supervisor Schmidt's very astute question, let me first of all commend this committee for scheduling this report, for taking it seriously. There have been years in the past that this report has not been scheduled. I want to commend the administration. The Municast forecasting system, both the framework that was set up and the use of the software, was established by a previous administration. The new administration did not have to continue it. On the contrary, the new administration has embraced it. So I think that's very important. So number one, from the perspective of the Public Policy Forum, we think it is very commendable that you are now doing long-range fiscal forecasting and giving it the type of attention that it deserves. Another commendation certainly is in order for the progress you've made. I don't think there is any question. I do not quibble whatsoever with the statement that significant progress has been made. To some extent, there's been a price to that significant progress. It has essentially been done to a great extent on the backs of your employees. I think only time will tell what types of programmatic impacts that may have. And I think Supervisor Schmidt is completely correct to think that that is going to continue to be a sustainable strategy for very much longer probably does. If indeed that is the only direction in which you can go, and very candidly, I think that's what several municipal governments are looking at as well, then there may be some service level impacts. And maybe that's unavoidable, and that's maybe what we're all willing to accept. But I don't disagree with that assertion either. So I think the overall assessment that I would give you as an independent outsider is that while significant progress has been made, clearly the obstacles that you face are still severe. There is still a structural imbalance here. I could potentially argue that a $30 million hole going into 2013 is even more serious than an $80 million hole was going into 2008 because of all the cutting that you have done over the previous 5 years. So there aren't many other places to go. I think the fundamental problem, and we've documented this in several reports, is that your locally generated resources and the resources over which you have direct control, in other words, your shared revenue, your property tax, and your sales tax, has increasingly been sucked up by both your employee benefit costs and, by extension, your mandated services. So the squeeze has been on your discretionary services, and I think that's going to continue to be the issue. Can those three revenue streams possibly sustain the level of discretionary services that you feel you want to sustain? And so I don't think that problem has changed. It's gotten a little bit better, I think, undoubtedly, but that, to me, remains the fundamental problem. Getting to your question, difficult for me to, you know, there aren't any silver bullets here. I think you all know that just as well as I do. I do believe that whether you want to or not, to me the one other big question that has yet to be addressed by the county from a financial perspective is its assets and its liabilities from a capital infrastructure perspective. And I know you are headed in the direction of doing an assessment of your overall assets and infrastructure. And again, I'm not saying that in the end you're going to want to relinquish assets and liquidate things that your constituents depend upon. But from where I sit, particularly with this opportunity of your debt service going down in future years, you have a unique opportunity to try to prioritize and to try to figure out what is the size of a set of capital assets, particularly in your parks and your cultural institutions, and even from a transportation perspective. Mr. Kamholz was at a meeting yesterday of the ICC Shared Services Work Group, where there was discussion once again about the county trunk highways, and may there be a better way to be able to take care of those highways. So I think, again, assessing your overall infrastructure and determining, in light of your very significant personnel reductions over the past several years, but also, unfortunately, assessing that in the context of the squeeze on your discretionary services, figuring out what's affordable and what's not, to me, is still another avenue to try to take to address this problem.
Any questions, Supervisor Joseph?
I'm a little incredulous at the comment, and I don't know if it was misspoken. You started off by indicating the administration didn't have to continue to do the unit test. Did I hear that right? I just want to remind everyone this is part of strategic planning. The administration's directed to do muni casting. I want to thank Mr. Hinken, who not only was part of that, but who also was instrumental in doing this along with Mr. Mugini, two people who are not paid at the county. But I do want to emphasize this is strategic planning. We continue to need to look at the big picture. And, of course, we need to continue to do the facilities redesign piece. Two important issues that came out of strategic planning.
Yes, and I apologize if I misspoke, Supervisor. I think that the enthusiasm with which the administration embraced this is what I meant to convey.
And I won't discount that. They have been very helpful, and I think are you know, partners with us, with the board, in doing this. The one question I would like to have explored a little further really goes to the key assumptions which drive a lot of these numbers. And I know some of the assumptions really are taken from major indicators like inflation, property tax, and so on. But certainly some of the assumptions with regard to increase in salaries, the employee retiree health care, at least from the standpoint of what this county is going to pay for, are some assumptions that perhaps the board needs to have a little bit more input into because it's going to drive budget assumptions as we go into budget.
Well, and just my brief response, not meaning to steal the show, is that I think it's very important to recognize that this is a model. And so there are assumptions in here regarding the property tax that may not even be doable depending on what the legislature does in terms of a long-term nature with the annual property tax levy cap. So there's assumptions there. There's assumptions, as you mentioned, in terms of health care and so on. So this is a very useful exercise that gives you, I believe, the greatest value here is in allowing you on an annual basis to assess the extent to which actions taken budget to budget are impacting the curb. So there's shrinkage going on, there's no doubt about that. But whether the real figure, you know, going forward 5 years from now is an $80 million problem versus 100 or 60 or 45, I think, it's, again, you have to see that this is a model.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing that I have seen clearly while I've been on the board is, for example, the promises that were made to the retirees that this county would pay their full health insurance costs after retirement. When promises like that get made, the cost of those kinds of promises were very, you know, very reasonable, very low cost. You know, depending on what happens with Obamacare and so on, employees may have to start hearing the board say, we can't continue to have the kind of growth in those costs that are just going to be picked up by the county. And I do hope nationally we start to find a resolution to those significant problems. But we are going to have to continue to plan our budgets going forward. And we need to have some input in how we make those assumptions and drive budget planning in that regard. So, but thank you for your work, because I know it's been significant. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other comments or questions? If not, gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Item number